We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KLOX.
Get up. Oh, listen to this. A little Marvin Gaye. For Joey Vitale, as we come back, a little sexual healing. Joey Vitale visits with a blues player every game. It's called the Cup of Joe. He talked to Ryan O'Reilly, and O'Reilly said that if he could collaborate with one artist or go to a show with one artist or watch one artist, it'd be Marvin Gaye. And Joey's response was, well, who among us hasn't tried to seduce someone with Marvin Gaye?
I believe I said wooed.
Sorry, wooed.
There's a difference.
We'll have to check the tape. You know, the thing about that is it lives forever, so we'll check the tape.
Do we want to get into what the difference is?
We'll get to that in a bit. 5-3 Blues over the Flames. It's our extended post-game coverage on KMOX, your home for the Blues.
This seems like the perfect show to do that.
Perfect. Perfect. And Curbs, I know as the Blues notch their first win tonight, a very special new tradition that began in the room after tonight's game, and we have a very special guest up here in the booth with us.
You know what? So this is pretty cool. The last few years, you know, we've seen it kind of go around, and really kind of goes back to how we've had the hard hat on the broadcast for the last 19 seasons. But guys all around the league, whether it's sometimes it's a police hat or it's a fireman's hat. Last couple of years, the Blues have started a tradition where after a win, they kind of pass that Player of the Game award in the locker room, and with Alexander Steen and the leadership group, they've kind of related it to Blues history. So, for example, last year it was a hat that looked like the hat that Jimmy Roberts always wore. So this year Alexander Steen said, hey, we want to do something for Bobby, and they were looking around, and of course we came up, and Bobby didn't know about this, but we came up with the old pair of gloves that were on display here. Used to be kind of on display on the concourse, and they're different gloves. So what they did was they took the two gloves, and you'll see it in the pictures now, folks, on Twitter. And
did you have to break the glass to get
those out? No. We found that they were, thank God, protected through the renovations.
Right.
And so kind of like a boxer, they're tied together with a skate lace, and they're hanging around the neck. So Alexander Steen brought Bobby Plager into the room tonight. Bobby didn't know that this was going to happen, and knowing that this was coming, I asked Bobby to come on up and join us. So, Bobby, you know, just another way for the team to tie you into the history. But take us through what it was like. So you didn't know this was going to happen, and what happened when you walked into the room tonight?
Well, I didn't know it was going to happen. But first of all, when you mentioned last year with Jimmy Roberts with the hat, when they did that, I thought it was great. You know, Jimmy was he was the St. Louis Blues at first, Jimmy, and that hat of his and the gloves, his coaching hat. So I thought it was great last year. No, I didn't have any idea when they said they wanted to give me an award. I said, well, like I said, for the star, you guys pick the star of the game. I just give them something, the star of the game. And they said, no, Bob, it's just who you thought. There's turning points in some games. It could be a certain guy or a certain player does something. So whoever you want. So I says, good. So, they brought out, and I seen those gloves. And my gloves, if you ever seen what these gloves are now, they're big, huge gloves. And I used to block a lot of shots, and I had a blocking pad put on one of my gloves, the top hand. So like the goaltenders, it's a blocker. So they brought out, that was good, and it was going to be a good part too, because I got to pick who I wanted, and you know, you watch the game, certain parts. And
so wait, before you tell everybody who you picked, they tie these gloves together. Describe the gloves again. So when you see pictures of this, folks, they're going to look like two different gloves, and they're so much more protective than the gloves that players wear today. But you actually invented the one glove, essentially. You had Tommy Woodcock figure out a way to fix this so you don't break your hand.
Yeah. Well, I think if anybody sees pictures of me or gets some of the pictures I get, you look, and it's the top hand on top of the stick, and it's like the goaltender, top hand of the goaltender. And if you look at my one hand, there it is. I used to block shots. You get in there, and you block shots, and with the leather on there, some of those shots, it would go through, and I'd get hit, and I broke my hand a few times, and it was with Tommy Woodcock, I look back and I see the goaltender with that blocking pad, and I think I'm blocking as many shots as he is. And so I said, Tommy, I said, am I stupid or what? Here's that goaltender back there with all that equipment on, the big gloves and the blocking, and I'm the guy out in front of him. Before the shot gets to him, I'm blocking the pucks. And, you know, and here, and I had the broken hand there at the time to play.
Show these hands, but bend your hand too so the guys can see. You can see where the bump is
on
his hand still.
Yeah. So I said, we'd do something. So we got in there, and he got the fiberglass or plastic and put it on, got the leather. We sewed the leather, and it was like a little mini blocking pad and goaltenders.
So did more players start to wear those, that glove?
Well, what had happened was, and I'm wearing it, other players that see it and stop, and then it was a Rawlings glove. If you look Rawlings, well, it turned out that Rawlings come in there, and they started making the gloves, and they were called the defenseman glove. And if you were a left-handed shot, it was the blocking pad was on the one hand, and it, you know, switched hands. So, yeah, it was Rawlings. They come out. The gloves were made. They were called defenseman gloves.
All right, so after every win this season, now the player that we're going to tell you in a moment, he's going to, if the Blues win on Saturday night, these gloves are going to travel, and they'll present around, and the guy will do the interviews and stuff with the gloves kind of hanging around his neck. So you got the first choice. Who did you decide to hang the gloves on tonight?
Well, before they even brought out the gloves, I pretty well knew if I got to choose. I picked Allen, our goaltender, and I thought, you know, you watch the game, and him, he give up a goal the first. We were down 1-0, but he shut the door, and we had the five against. They had the 5-3, and he come up with the big saves, and those were the saves. And the game wasn't a 5-1 game at the time, so that kept us, give us some momentum. And at the end of the game, he made some pretty big saves at the end of the game, and so I just thought, well, he deserved it. Really, he was a guy. And when I gave him the gloves, I said, you know, it is strange here. I says, but here, if you ever lose your blocking pad, you can just reach in the bag, and there's one there, too, the blocker right there.
And, Bobby, here's what he said after the game when he got the gloves.
We're doing a new tradition where we have a set of Bobby Plager's old gloves the day when he played. So, obviously, they're pretty historic.
What do they smell like?
In the city, and, yeah, I don't know why I haven't really put my nose in there yet. But, you know, they passed them out to a player for the start of the game. Bobby actually did it tonight, and each player will continue that after each win.
Jake, where's the confidence level now heading into Chicago? You know, getting your first game.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I think we've built something here slowly but surely, and it's definitely not done. We have a long way to go, but I think we've gotten better each game, and we got to continue that in practice. I think that's where it starts, and you got to have the right mentality. We'll enjoy tonight, but get back to work tomorrow, and I think Hawks got us here at home. We're going to have a big test again. They have something to prove. You can see the way they played last game. They're ready. They're desperate, and you know, divisional points are huge right now. So it'll be another tough test, especially the back-to-back.
So you have the gloves, or you had the gloves?
I had the gloves, and we have a thief or something. They took it from me.
Some sense of pride. They're fighting for that, and you know, Bobby, and guys, I think Jake Allen kind of perfect epitome of this team over the last couple of years, because even in tonight, it's been two games. He's had great moments. He's had tough moments. He responded tonight. The Blues responded tonight. I know we're only three games into the season, but as you mentioned, Bobby, even then in the third period, things get a little bit tighter, and he certainly responded.
Hey Bobby, if Jake doesn't play the way he did in the third period, this game's tied. The team in front of him did not look good
in the
third period.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, really, without it, some pretty doggone good saves, Calgary ties the game 5-5.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what I mean. And then who's going to get blamed after if they do?
Absolutely.
If he doesn't make any. I mean, he has played good. I mean, even the games we lose, and being a player and being a defenseman and watching it, he gets a lot of blame for some things that somebody doesn't back check, or somebody doesn't get knocked down in front of the net, and it's the third shot. Well, I see that. I realize that. And there are games he'll let in a soft goal now and then, too. But, no, it's good, and it's good for him to get this win. We got a big game in Chicago. And again, I was happy that they let me do this, and it was a game that before I knew what I was giving out, he was my player, and you just mentioned some of the reasons. He was the unsung hero.
Bobby, thanks, buddy. Thanks for coming on and joining us. We'll make sure that we don't lose those gloves on the road this season.
No, well, it's been great. All
I cannot
these
promise.
Things
I mean, we may not take a picture of one or two of them with a beer in the hand somewhere, but
oh well. Call me.
All right.
And There might have been a beer in the hand. Okay, thank you.
You know, we're going to have to at one of these road trips, those gloves are going to make a tour around the city like Flat Stanley of the kids do.
That's right. They're on the plane after a win, right? Yeah.
The gloves will have their own personality. Right. Thank you, Bobby.
No, thank you.
That's the legendary Bobby Plager with us. Blues, a win over the Flames tonight, 5-3. And Jake Allen, the first guy to wear those gloves around his neck. Pretty awesome. Just such a cool thing. And Bobby is about the most modest person, Curbs, and about the most modest, you know, star and guy with his number hanging in the rafters that you'll ever meet. He'll slip into our broadcast booth and sit back there, and sometimes
because he won't watch.
He can't bear to watch.
Sometimes he won't
watch.
It'll
be a regular season game, but I think that's so cool. You wish they could have done it on opening night, but you know, worth the wait to get the win tonight. And he said before he even knew what he was doing, he knew he was giving it to Jake Allen. Alex Ferrario and Amy Markscores were down there in the dressing room. Guys, I'm sure there was some genuine emotion to Jake for having something like that happen. He's the first guy to wear those gloves. It must have been pretty cool to see him, see his response, and see him accept that for the first time.
Yeah, you know, I remember last year when they broke out the Jimmy Roberts hat, and there was a lot of emotion surrounding that one. But, you know, Jake talking about getting those gloves and obviously what Bobby means to this hockey club. But you could tell the emotion, but it was funny. I talked to Joel Edmondson afterwards, and I asked him, you know, what were your thoughts on Jake Allen tonight? And he said he was superb. He said he was superb in both games to start the season off, both losses, but this one tonight, he said if it wasn't for Jake in that third period, just like Chris Kerber said, they wouldn't have won this game. Joel said Jake was unbelievable tonight, and rightfully so. He deserved those gloves.
Yeah, and the players have a sense of pride down there that I think has escalated over the course of the summer with the acquisitions they've made, but also with the core group that's been here. They're playing for each other. They have each other's back, and they're playing for the crest on the front.
You know, do you guys think, having been in that locker room, was there more a sense of relief that they got the win, or did you see some ownership of that third period the way it went? Where was the questions? Where was the line that you heard from the guys kind of balancing that out?
You know, David Perron made a really good comment when somebody asked about, you know, getting off the schneid, I think the response was to him, about getting this first victory. And he said, look, you know, everybody may have been panicking, but we know what this club has in this locker room. And he said, we knew we were going to win a game. It was just a matter of putting it all together on the ice. And Jake said the same thing. It's just a matter of playing our style of game. But they did say that third period, I think Braden Schenn said it, that you know, you kind of forget that you still have a game to play because you want to win so bad. And that's kind of what you saw tonight in the third period when they jumped back on.
And Joey, along those lines, you know, one of the notes I made during the game was the fact that the tendency is that as players might let up a little bit because they get ahead of themselves, because you know, but there was a whole period of hockey to go. And we've talked a lot just because of that last game. You know, you're talking over 3 years now. I realize that yes, that's 382 game seasons plus 3 games this year. You're talking 21 times that a 2-goal lead has dissipated. That doesn't count games like this where a 5-1 lead becomes 5-3, and there's a good number of those in there as well. I think to take the next step to becoming a championship caliber team, you have to find a way where it's more of those games finish 5-1, 5-2 versus the intensity of a 5-3. They're pulling a goalie, or they're pulling their goalie, and your goalie's saving your bacon. It's closing out those games better and making that happen that helps you get to another level that allows you to win. You mentioned it during the game. You know, it's hard enough to win a 1-goal game, but when you get to the playoffs, you better have the moxie and the belief that you can win those 1-goal games, much less one when you're up by 2 or 3.
You know, exactly right, Curbs. And I think that when you saw it out there tonight, when you get up by a couple goals, you get up by 4 goals, that's the ownership of the group. That's the ownership of the core group that Amy was talking about. And that's when those guys have got to rally, and you got to make the simple, smart decision. Now, listen, as a player, it's a 2-goal game, you're kind of a little nervous still, right? You're still going to make those good plays. When you go up by 3, when you go up by 4, everyone's a little giddy on the bench. Everyone's talking about where they're going to go for beers or dinner after the game. You kind of get a little sense of relief that we got a little window here. We got a little comfort, you know, a little cushion here. We're going to go out there and just kind of get through this period, hopefully injury-free. But, man, Calgary answered twice there. Two opportunities coming off second rebound chances that something they wanted to clean up, then all of a sudden you got a game. Moving forward, if you're going to win games in this division, if you're going to win games in this league and make a playoff push and have playoff presence, it's about getting the lead, which the Blues will get this year because they have so much offensive talent and just firepower up front. But like you said, it's going to be how do you protect that lead? It's got to come down to one thing, making simple plays, executing, not getting too far ahead of yourselves, and playing it like it's a 0-0 game.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Still more on this game. Also, I think Curbs and Amy are going to drop the gloves. I know we have a topic on suspensions that Curbs wanted to get to.
This is a good one. This is a good one.
I know you're excited about it. See? Really? Glad I remembered. I told you to write it down next to your three stars.
Listen, I'll remember to go to break so we can come back. I already got it in my head.
All right, back in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
The Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues on KMOX.
Dude, this is fantastic. We should do this.
He's chilling.
Are we sure? Just let it happen.
Just let him go. Just let it happen.
His hands are out.
Joey getting on the plane after a win. Show the hands.
Here we go. Let's get it on.
Oh, man.
Wow. This post-game show just got real.
You did this to yourself.
I know I did.
You should be proud of that.
I'm grateful.
That was a great segment.
Love it.
You get some of the best stuff out of guys when you're not talking hockey, and Joey talked music with Ryan O'Reilly on his Cup of Joe. Amy has talked music with Ryan O'Reilly.
It's because, listen,
Ryan O'Reilly replaced Scotty Upshaw as our indie rock guy.
So you remember the Scotty Upshaw story where he was hanging out with Jim James at, I think it was Lollapalooza, dancing to Whitney Houston. Guess who was there? Ryan O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm. He mentioned today My Morning Jacket, and Jim James is one of his favorites. But
we
Joey
talk
just
about
kept,
all the
he
time.
He just kept Look, pressing the Marvin Gaye stuff.
I just loved it. I grew up with Marvin Gaye and the Supremes and Diana Ross and Aretha Franklin. I mean, that was my just genre.
Right,
and
stop.
I was
a master of seduction.
Last week.
Thank you, Marvin.
Last week, okay, you're saying you grew up with all those guys, but you couldn't reference Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh, my gosh.
We didn't watch a lot of TV.
I never watched MASH
We just
either,
listened to a lot of music. My dad cooked and always had the tunes on, so that's the difference.
See, my mom was the same thing, especially with Diana Ross and being the mom of nine kids and all the terror that goes with that. She'd look at us and she would play Diana Ross's "It's My Turn" with a purpose. Okay, she would make sure she knows. She goes, one day. There were two things she said. She goes, one day, and then she'd play Diana Ross's "It's My Turn." And then the other thing she said all the time was, one day I'm coming over to your guys' houses and jumping on your beds and breaking the box springs. was the other thing she said. But
running up and down the stairs.
But back to that. Well, you know, sometimes when we do these post-game shows and we break things down in sports, I constantly throw this out there, and Chris, Alex, you guys have heard me say this for years. We're not dealing with robots out there. You know, the coach can put the perfect game plan out there, but it's who adjusts the best during the game. Who handles the adversity of the game, the highs and lows of the next 5 minutes, much less the next 20 minutes. You know, and when you're talking about, you know, the trade deadline and all this stuff, you're not just flipping your hockey cards and whoever lands face up wins, you know, whoever lands tails down. You're dealing with families and dealing with people. And these guys are human too, man. They get microphones put in front of them all the time. They want to talk about things other than hockey sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they've got great interests and they've got great stories. And you heard me say this yesterday to the organization. You know, I mean, we found out yesterday, for example, that Chad Johnson played the role of a mouse in a sixth-grade Christmas play.
Okay.
And, Patrick Maroon won a gold medal in the World Championships of roller hockey over the Czech Republic in Switzerland. You know, and then who was our other player that we had? Oh, Robert Thomas, varsity volleyball player, you know, in high school and stuff. So everyone's got a terrific story. We just have to find what it is. And that's what you're doing with Cup of Joe, Amy. That's what you're doing with, you know, with the Blues Minutes that are airing every day. Like, it's awesome stuff that shows you that these guys are human too.
And thanks to Tom Timmerman, I now know why a majority of the Blues players don't have teeth. Learned today that Robert Thomas lost his when he was 16, his first year playing in the OHL. Ryan O'Reilly, who I believe has a fake tooth that he wears all the time when he's away from the rink. So let me tell you something, those little nuggets.
And Alexander Steen, for all of his missing teeth, he lost one of them on a corn on the cob.
How about
corn
that
on the cob.
Corn on the cob.
Well, speaking of, let's go back to hockey here just a moment. You saw today the impact of Joel Edmundson, and he signed the one-year contract, you know, for $3 million, a bit of a bridge deal. Like, Jay Bouwmeester's contract is up at the end of this season. You know, there's going to be some other cap space that's coming, depending on what Doug Armstrong does with him and all that. But Joel Edmundson started to earn himself a spot with the top D pairing with Alex Pietrangelo, and his play is going to make Alex Pietrangelo better, but my goodness, you saw that hockey sense that he has really grown into, and what a hockey player he's turned into here for the St. Louis Blues, just in terms of importance.
Yeah, you know, bridge signing this summer, indeed. If he continues at this rate, this is going to be a big contract that Dougie Armstrong needs to address at some point this season. And
which they can do, I believe, after January 1st.
After January 1st, which you will hear noise come January 1st about that.
Yeah,
because that is something that you want to lock down a guy like Joel Edmundson. He brings so much to the game. We talk about the stick. We talk about the physicality. He jumps up and rush. He can be a force on the power play. But what I love most about Joel Edmundson is the compliment he gives to Alex Pietrangelo. Alex Pietrangelo, first two games of the year, I think he'd be the first to admit, did not like his game. He was a bit all over the place. And when he doesn't have his partner in Joel Edmundson, sometimes Pietrangelo feel like he needs to do too much. He needs to step out of his comfort zone. He needs to go out there and just get everything. But when you have Joel Edmundson out there, it's a little bit of a safety blanket for the Blues captain, and we certainly saw that here tonight.
And Alex, I know we're going to hear from him in 1 second with you, but listen, he said he had the pregame, first game butterflies this morning after missing the first two, and he was thrown right into the fire. A couple of power plays, a penalty kill. He was out there, and he certainly got his money's worth as he scored there early.
Yeah, he even told me afterwards that the butterflies lasted all the way to the third period. And look, I mean, a guy who's so influential, like you just talked about, Joey, he allows Alex Pietrangelo to play his game. He puts the defense in front of Jake Allen and clears the front of the net. And I talked to him right after the game, and just to get his thoughts not only on the victory, but the way that Jake played, and also scoring that first goal of the season for him.
All right, we get a chance with Joel Edmundson on the Blues postgame show. And Joel, maybe it's home openers for you. You scored last year in it, and you scored this one in it. How did it feel?
Yeah, I didn't realize that. It was definitely tough missing the home opener. So, it was nice to play my first game in front of the Blues fans. You wait all summer to play in front of them again, and, we're just happy we get the win tonight.
Any butterflies for you when you went out there tonight?
Yeah, I definitely had a jump in my step, and I was just trying to jump up in the play as much as I could, but at the same time, take care of my own end. So it's definitely exciting, and I got lots of texts right now. Everyone's excited that I'm back.
What'd you learn from your team tonight after this victory compared to the first two games?
I think the first two games, it's more feeling out process, but we had a good 4 days of practice or whatever it was, and you can definitely see the connection in between the forwards, the new lines. Everyone just, everyone paid the price tonight, and when they had chances, we all crashed in front of the net, and when they had chances, Snake was there to stand on his head. So, all around, good game.
Did it feel like a different energy with the guys out there tonight compared to the first two?
For sure. I think everyone was, everyone was buzzing tonight. We knew it was a must-win for us. You can't, it's a tough league to get wins in, and losing those first two is tough. So we came in here, we were focused. We didn't really worry about them. We just worried about what we could do for 60 minutes.
You had to be pretty impressed too with the team for how patient you guys were when Calgary started to storm back.
Yeah. We knew they were going to make a push, but Yosi called us all in. And we still had a two-goal lead with 8 minutes left, so we just tried to do everything we could to maintain that lead.
How good was Jake tonight?
He was unreal. It's good to see. First two games, I don't think we helped him that much, and tonight, when we weren't there to help him, he was there helping us. So it was nice to see him stand on his head, and that's what we expect from him.
Joel, thanks so much. Congrats, and look forward to Saturday.
All right, thank you very much.
It's our own Alex Ferrario there with Joel Edmundson. He brings up an interesting thing. This is going to get overlooked a little bit, but that was a terrific piece of coaching by Mike Yo to get that timeout right then and there. He knew you could feel it, and it seems like the easy thing, and it was, but there was enough time left that when the player says, Mike Yo kind of pulled us in and got us kind of back mentally where we needed to go. That plays a role in this, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. And that's why I gave him the hard hat tonight, because up to that point in the third period, the Flames were coming, and they were coming in waves. Call timeout, you get the boys, you regroup, You know, I'm not sure what the message was that wasn't down there, but based off their play, they started managing the puck a little bit better. Just like how they were doing the first two periods, right out of the gates, it was the Shen Schwartz line come out there. They put pucks in. They spent 45 seconds in the offensive zone. And again, getting back to that timeout, that was a huge, huge shift there in the third period.
Let's take one more break. And when we come back, I want to pull up a seat and watch Curbs and Amy drop the gloves and hear what Joey and Allie think as well.
It is not contentious. There's no way we could have a contentious moment when we're listening to
Marvin Gaye.
Great point.
I'm sorry, but are we going to overlook the fact that Joey has called himself the octopus guy in the middle of the broadcast? Like, he is the spot for the octopus.
I don't know
that
if I said I was
a great point, by the way.
I don't know if I said that I was the octopus guy. Did I say that?
You also said he was going to take his jeans off for a hat.
You told Curbs that if you know,
I might lose my job.
You told Curbs that if you want to know where the good spot is for octopus, you're the guy.
I do know.
You are the octopus
radio
guy.
Nobody's going to know if you do the games with your pants on.
Great point. You and I haven't worn pants in 5 years.
We'll know. That's exactly, yeah.
Hey, before I ever even did a game, I took the job here in St. Louis. I came up to look for an apartment. It was the end of March 2013.
That's a good point.
Curbs invited me to the booth. They're playing the Avalanche. And on the broadcast, he said, it's great to have Chris Raby, who's going to join us at KMOX. He's up here in the booth, just kind of taking things in, getting settled in St. Louis. He's from Chicago, and he's got a Blackhawks tattoo on his ass.
Welcome to St. Louis.
So thank you. Thank you. We're back in a moment on KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Live on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Won't eat octopus anymore, though.
No.
Nah, a little too chewy.
Bad experience?
No, it's just, I mean, it was like chewing on a Michelin tire.
Like a rubber band. Yeah, I've had that. You got bad octopus. You got to find the right spot to get octopus.
Probably was the only time I tried it. I didn't even realize. Like, I wouldn't even known if it was bad or good.
Yeah. Oh, no. When octopus is good, it's good. But when it's bad, it's bad. I'll take you some good spots. I know where the good octopus is at. What are we talking about?
12:05 to go. We're in the third period.
Octopus and Diana Ross pair well together.
I go to this sushi joint in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. It's a terrific spot. It's up on Robson, and you know they got them all over the place. But this
no
is
ketchup.
One we've just always gone a long time, and I had it there. And the problem was Jeremy Rutherford and I were each into our own bottle of sake at this point in time. So it's the last piece of sushi. He's trying to chew it down. I'm trying to chew it down, and we're basically looking at each other. Just whatever you do, don't barf.
See, the media, you know, the media spot's different than the player spots.
Yeah.
Per diem fluctuates a
no,
bit.
Oh, this is a terrific spot.
Joey.
It's all up there. All right, listen, we've been teasing this. Let's get into this suspension thing. So, interestingly enough, it was reported on today where when the Capitals had Tom Wilson suspended for 20 games. Now, that could get reduced, right? Just like Austin Watson's suspension just got reduced from 27 games to 18 games by an independent arbitrator, all right? But there's a clause that allows the commissioner to allow a suspended player to not count against the roster number. In other words, you have to have 23 players on you. You don't have to. You can have as many as 23 players on your roster. If a player is normally suspended for a game or two, they don't automatically go off the roster and become a non-roster player. But in these longer suspensions, the commissioner at times has said, yes, they can. So they've told the Washington Capitals, yes, Tom Wilson is suspended, but until he's back, he will not count as one of your 23 guys. Now, he's consistent. He did the same thing for San Jose with Rafi Torres. He has not allowed the Las Vegas Golden Knights, apparently, according to the reports today, to do this with Nate Schmidt, who is being suspended because he tested positive for a PED. So our discussion this morning stemmed around, is the commissioner being consistent here? Should the team be allowed to replace a player on the roster, at least from a roster number, if he's suspended for a PED versus an on-ice suspension of 20 games?
Well, I think it's obvious that the NHL views these issues as independent. They have nothing to do with each other, so don't be deceived by the 20-game suspension on each. We know that the NHL places a heavier emphasis on the PED. They've got a PED policy in place. First-time offender, 20 games. Second-time offender, 60 games. Third-time offender, a permanent suspension. Now, this is Tom Wilson's fourth suspension
in a year,
which is unprecedented, and they don't have a policy for that. So we know that, well, obviously the on ice issues don't carry as heavy a weight as the off ice issues, and I think that's why they're allowed to replace Tom Wilson.
You know, I think that it's the PED thing that really stands out, because the league has come down extremely hard on this, and I support the fact that Nate Schmidt's still on the roster because of a drug allegation and something he took and put in his body, because I think it's different than a hockey play. And I know that Tom Wilson's had his troubles in the past, but the hockey, it's a bang-bang play. It's constant. It's a fast game, and there are issues. And I think that he should be allowed to be removed from the roster. And you know, I think that Kempney just got back off the IR, so he's put back into the roster spot. And I see the difference. But then again, I agree with you, Amy, when you say you got to have some sort of policy in place because there's too much gray areas. And I mean,
it to me doesn't seem fair, Alex, that the Vegas Golden Knights have Nate Schmidt counting as one of their 23, if that's the case, versus the Capitals don't have to count Tom Wilson.
I'm a little confused by this, and maybe I'm completely off chart here, but when I saw the tweet out there, and it was from the rule book, it said in there that the only time that they shouldn't count against the roster was an illness, a family issue, or a pregnancy, meaning their significant others. It never stated anything about suspension. So
it doesn't. It's a commissioner.
So it's his
discretion
off of this.
It is Gary Bettman's discretion.
Because to me, I'm looking at this. If you're suspended for whatever Tom Wilson did, or in the Nate Schmidt case where putting something in your body that is against the league, that should be a penalty against the team where they have to adjust with the guy counting on the roster rather than not against the roster.
So to me, I agree with this. I think it's okay for Tom Wilson not to count against the roster and Nate Schmidt to count against the roster. And here's why. I think there's a difference between cheating and rational rule breaking, and it all comes down to intent. When you're cheating, there is an intent to deceive. You're doing it in secret. You don't want the consequences. When you're breaking the rule out on the ice, nothing's secret, and you're willing to accept the consequences.
Your premise, though, is that Tom Wilson is rational rule breaking.
Yeah.
This is four times
in
105 games, three of them against the Blues in the preseason.
But that's the thing.
That's cheating.
And that's why I think they jumped from the three playoff games, and then they jumped to the 20.
Yeah, but
game
we're not talking about we're not talking to the act of the suspension or the number of games. We're not talking about the severity of
the ramifications.
Okay, yeah. We understand that.
How it affects the team.
We're talking about now the impact on the team, and is there a level of fairness in the commissioner being able to decide these 20 games is different, that hurts the whole team, versus these 20 where you can replace them on the roster?
And guys, in our final 60 seconds, I mean, Amy rattled off, rightfully so, the PED escalation. I know the rules committee takes into account prior history when it comes to discipline, but at some point, is enough enough?
Yeah.
If you're going to be kicked out permanently for testing positive for PEDs three times, at some point is enough and enough if it's deemed as bad as what Tom Wilson has done
four times in 105 games. Again, that's
totally a different argument.
Totally different argument than the one we're working on.
But look, if you're going to suspend the player, you should penalize the team also so that it stops. And that's
there's
where I feel like
question.
You put it
because
against.
Then you got to be accountable, right?
That's where you need to do it.
I don't know. I agree with Amy.
It's intent.
I think Schmidt,
that's
he
the octopus
cheated.
Talking.
Tom Wilson, he did not cheat. He broke the rules. I think there's a difference.
What's that?
Thank
me and
you.
Amy.
Thank
Team
you,
Amy.
That's the
Team
octopus talking.
The question for another time is, what the hell does Tom Wilson have against the Blues young players in preseason games?
Specifically Robert Thomas.
Who is it? Robert Thomas, Sundquist, and Sammy Blay?
I'll tell you what he needs. He needs a little more Marvin Gaye and a lot less bad octopus.
Let's get it on. Guys,
this is fun.
It's our fourth period as we wrap up after the Blues 5-3 win over the Flames. For Curbs, Joey, Alex, Amy, Ryan, Mike, I'm Chris. 7:30 for the puck drop, 7 o'clock pregame skate on Saturday. Until then, you've been listening to the Blues on your home for St. Louis Blues Hockey. Game on. Nice, Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.